What's going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase. Today is Thursday, August 2nd here on the show. Very excited to be back with you, talking some birds as the Eagles finished up their morning of practice a couple hours ago, and it was a very physical Thursday practice as the pads were on, and the Eagles were back to hitting after yesterday taking more of a lighter practice. So we're going to get today on today's show some takeaways from Thursday's practice, who stood out, some injury news to report, some different formations, different looks that the Eagles gave today. We'll get all into that, as well as talking about Eagles players that will be candidates for NFL awards after the 2018 regular season. You know, last year Carson Wentz was the I think it was the Air Award or what's it called exactly. I have the list up on here, the FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year. So, you know, Carson Wentz won that. He didn't win MVP after getting hurt. Coach of the Year, Doug Peterson, kind of got screwed over, if you ask me. Offensive Line of the Year, the Eagles won. But, you know, the End of the Year awards, Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player. What Eagles on this roster are going to be up for those individual awards? We will get into that as well on today's edition of the show. If you missed any of our podcasts, you can make sure to go on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you can find podcasts, TuneIn Radio. We're up on there. You can listen to them. So Locked On Eagles is very easy to listen to. And of course, on the mothership, as always, we post all of our content on LockedOnEagles.com, where we not only have our podcast, guys, but I write a lot throughout the week as well. I wrote a piece a couple days ago about if Howie Roseman starts trading, who's some players that could get moved for what, you know, continued to post takeaways from each practice in a little bit more depth, get some tweets posted in there from around Eagles media, which, you know, right now is pretty active as Eagles training camp is officially underway. And we are, guys, this is awesome. We are exactly 1 week away from Eagles football. We're 1 week away until the Eagles continue to defend their 2017 Super Bowl championship with the first preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I am so incredibly excited. Today we actually have the Hall of Fame game. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens play the Chicago Bears. I'm super excited to watch Lamar Jackson, a player that I'm such a huge fan of. If you follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, you have known throughout the draft process, I actually thought Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback in the 2018 draft class, and I think he's going to light the NFL on fire. So he's going to be exciting to watch tonight. So football officially starts today, and then Eagles football officially starts next Thursday. It's really cool. And so a little news for the show. I'm going to actually be down in Philadelphia for training camp practice and that open practice at Lincoln Financial Field August 11th, which is that next Saturday. So if you want to hang out with me, just drop me a line at DiBiaseLOE. I'm going to be posting live content throughout the day at the stadium. I'm going to get practice highlights, do maybe a Twitter live discussion. So if you want to check that out, I am going to be having consistent coverage throughout the day. And then, of course, my podcast as well later on. So excited to get down to the Philadelphia area, get back down to the link, because as you guys know, I'm up here in Buffalo working in Buffalo Sports Radio right now. And you know, I'm away from the nest, but like I said in the first show, I bleed green just as hard as all of you guys, and I think the coverage is going to be even better when I can get down there and really for my own eyes see practice. So it's super exciting. I haven't been down there since the day the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the best day of my life so far. I was down there at the Fillmore with Sports Radio 94 WIP celebrating as the Eagles won the title, which was just an awesome experience. So I'm very excited to get back down to the city. But yeah, if you're going to the camp as well, drop me a line at DiBiaseLOE. Let's hang out and let's talk some birds. I got my tickets. I'm ready to go and I'm excited to see the Eagles. Before we continue our show, we got to give a shout out to our sponsor of today's show, and that is Vivid Seats. The Hall of Fame game, guys, between the Bears and Ravens takes place tonight, and that means the start of the NFL regular season is around the corner. This season, don't sit around watching the Philadelphia Eagles from home when you can be at the Lincoln Financial Field in the crowd cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. Being in the stadium, I love sitting at home watching the games, but there's nothing like being at the game with all of the fans surrounding the players on the field. It's just an awesome experience, and the Lincoln Financial Field is one of the best stadiums in the NFL, one of the best experiences to go to an NFL game, and do that through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Eagles listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code LOCKEDON. One word, caps, LOCKEDON. So again, when you go to purchase your first pair of tickets through Vivid Seats, you're going to get 10% off just by using the code LOCKEDON. And this is a special offer for Locked On Eagles listeners. That's Locked On with no spaces, new customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. So make sure you get your tickets now for if it's a preseason game, the Eagles regular season's coming up soon. Tickets are expensive, and a 10% off discount is pretty big for you, the listeners. Again, the code is Locked On. So preseason and regular season tickets are available now, and the Eagles kick off their home schedule that Thursday against the Atlanta Falcons, the first game of the NFL season, and you can be there for all the excitement, for the banner raising. It's going to be a historic moment in Eagles history, not just Eagles history, but in Philadelphia sports history, and you can be there. Just go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off of your order. The offseason is over. The NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. So we thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the show today. Let's get into some takeaways now from Thursday's physical practice. It was, you know, again, the pads were on again. Yesterday, the team really didn't get too much into hitting. It was more of a light practice for the team. But today they got back into it, and it was a physical one. The Eagles were doing some red zone drills, and there were some scraps. You got to love those training camp fights. A couple guys continue to stand out from the team, so we're going to get into it right now. And the Eagles dodged a bullet today with rookie defensive end out of Florida State, fourth round pick Josh Sweat, who appeared to be limping to the sideline. Looked like he had a leg injury, so Josh Sweat went to the sideline. You know, Josh Sweat has had knee injury history throughout high school and at college at Florida State. He's been dealing with those knee injuries since high school, and it was a little bit concerning when you see that on the feed that Josh Sweat is going to the sidelines and trainers were attending to him, but it looks like he only sprained his ankle. He might not even miss a practice. So when the media were asking players today about Sweat's injury, the players didn't seem too concerned, and then the news came out that he just sprained his ankle, and they for precautionary measures, they might hold Sweat out for maybe a day, but he's good to go. He's going to be fine, and that's an awesome thing because Sweat has had a really good training camp so far, and he's one of the guys to watch against the Steelers next week in the preseason. We'll see what he can do against opposing offensive lines because he's gained 15 pounds of muscle. He looks big. He looks explosive off the first step, and you know, having him healthy is a big thing to continue that depth at defensive end. So the Eagles do dodge a bullet on that health front, but one thing to report on the offensive side, Shelton Gibson, the wide receiver for the Eagles, is in concussion protocol after yesterday's practice. He went down with a head injury on a drill where he was attempting to go up for the pass, hurt his head. He did not practice today, and again, he's in concussion protocol, and he's another player that's been having a really good training camp so far for the Eagles, so hopefully he can get back and continue to secure that fifth receiver spot, which could be the final one, as he's battling with Marcus Wheaton, Greg Ward Jr., Kamar Aiken, a lot of different receivers, Bryce Treggs, for maybe one or two spots, and right now he looks like the favorite. The Eagles have invested in him. They kept him last year despite having an awful summer, and it's really paid off this year, so hopefully Shelton Gibson can get back on the field. Another player to watch in the preseason, an explosive receiver that is young and has time to develop, and hopefully he can stay healthy so the Eagles can continue to develop him before the regular season starts. So for the injury front, not good news for Shelton Gibson, who is in concussion protocol, but for Josh Sweat, he avoids any serious injury. He just has a sprained ankle, and again, he might not miss any time from practice throughout the week. Another player continues to stand out. You guys know he's a fan favorite of mine in the show. It's Rasul Douglas, the corner. He is going to be a player in this league. He had another interception today, diving to the ground to make the play. It was an athletic move from Douglas, and Nate Sudfeld underthrew the pass. It was falling to the ground. Douglas gets down and grabs the ball. He just has such a nose for the ball. You know, he led the NCAA in interceptions when he got drafted by the Eagles. So in 2016 with West Virginia, he had 8 interceptions. And with his length, being able to jump some routes, getting physical with wide receivers, To me, he has all the makings. I know he struggles with speedy receivers, but like Jalen Mills, once his route recognition and his technique gets better, his experience starts teaching him when to, when to be patient, when to go and play aggressive. Once he develops that, and Corey Unlund's done a really good job so far in the summer of trying to coach him with that. And he, Rasul Douglas, even tweeted out yesterday, "Got to be coachable, young fella," because he knows they're working with him, and he has a future with this Eagles team, and he's going to be someone that is going to play a significant role with the defense for years to come, and he has continued to shine. Elliot Shore Parks of NJ.com tweeted out, I think, after the interception, that was Douglas's fourth pick of the summer. So in about a week and a half of practice, Rasul Douglas already has four interceptions so far in drills. He has really impressed the likes of Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz and Corey Unlund, and the young corner has a promising future, and it just gets me so excited. Corner is one of the most interesting positions for me on this team. Some more corner news to report. Jalen Mills finally got some looks in the slot today. I still think Sidney Jones ends up being that with that spot, at least for just the 2018 season, but down the road, Sidney Jones is going to be an outside corner. Then it's either really you keep Darby, say they re-sign Darby, you have Sidney Jones and Darby on the outside, who knows what they do with Douglas, and then you put Jalen Mills basically inside or at safety. But if they let Darby walk, which I think they're going to because of how much they like Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones, and of course Jalen Mills, Douglas is going to end up having to be an outside receiver, or excuse me, corner. Sidney Jones is probably going to be your number one. Then, almost by necessity, Mills would be the better option to move. And it's not a demotion. Like Johnny Page said on our show a couple days ago on the defensive line preview when we first talked about training camp and the cornerback position, being in the slot is not a demotion. It's one of the most important roles on the defense, almost as important as an outside corner. And it's not just because of that. It's not a demotion. It's not that he wouldn't be a good option on the outside, but it's that Rasul Douglas really isn't going to line up in the slot, and Sidney Jones is going to be your best corner. You're going to want him on the best receivers on the outside. So to really max out the personnel, Jalen Mills is going to be best suited to play on the inside, and I think he's going to do a really good job of it because it's a position that you don't really have to have long speed to thrive in, which Jalen Mills is a fast corner. He's not as fast as Ronald Darby or Sidney Jones. He can hold his own against some of the faster receivers in the league, but the slot cornerback position allows you to be more physical, and it's really more going left to right, quick routes. It's more about being able to, jam him at the line of scrimmage, and being more aggressive is definitely allowed in the slot. So there's not a lot of deep routes inside. So really, Mills won't have to worry about that as much, actually. So I think the slot actually fits Jalen Mills really well. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but eventually, if they want to use Douglas and Jones as their staples on the outside, who knows? Maybe Avante Maddox becomes someone they really like that they can put inside, and then Jalen Mills eventually moves to the safety position. But either way, Jalen Mills eventually, to me, is going to end up moving from the outside because I think it's a matter of time where Jones gets pushed on the outside. And then, to me, the Eagles are keeping either Douglas or Darby in the plans on defense. And to me, Mills fits best as that versatile chip that they can move around. So he did get slot work today, finally, because when the Eagles really have described what they're looking for in a slot corner, it has been Mills that's kind of come to their mind. Or at least to me, when they're describing someone, Mills really fits that mold. And they've mentioned his name directly before, but I think with how well he's had this year, how well he's done at training camp in the summer, as well as Ronald Darby, I think Sidney Jones is going to end up being the slot corner, at least just for this year, before he really takes that big jump. And then eventually, I think the Eagles move it around. But for right now, Mills did get finally some slot reps today. I still expect Jones to be the slot guy, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby as your outside corners, but it is something to take note of that the Eagles are giving that a look because they've really just consistently been going to Jones in the middle or Bosby. So today they switched it up a little bit and put Jalen Mills on the inside, which I thought was interesting as we continue to watch the slot cornerback battle. Zach Ertz made some plays again today. He made the play of the game with a one-handed red zone touchdown off a screen pass. Nick Foles kind of overthrew him. Zach Ertz jumps up with a snag of a one-handed catch, dives into the end zone as the Eagles were working in the red zone today. And there were some training camp scraps. Ertz actually got in it with Michael Bennett today. After each guy had to get pulled away, had to be separated. Michael Bennett also got into it with Richard Rodgers, which is Bennett is a character. I think it's clear that the Bennetts are known to be, not just him, but his brother Martellus, are known to be outspoken. They're known to be kind of pests on the field, and Bennett got into it with a couple tight ends today, and he has been very interesting to follow throughout training camp, because not only is he's been getting into it with some players, which I love the training camp feuds. You know, it's 90 degrees outside, it's physical, it's grueling, and eventually tempers flare up. But it's not just that, he's really been a leader so far with this Eagles team. He's been coaching up young offensive linemen today after practice. He was working with Jordan Melodia on some technique. He was talking with Pryor a couple days ago, helping him out. He's really been working with the young guys. He was, you know, hyping up Josh Sweat and how explosive his first move is on the edge. Bennett's really been impressive since he's come to the Philadelphia Eagles. He actually broke down the huddle today. He's made some big plays throughout the camp. And, you know, me and Johnny Page were talking about it with the defensive line preview, who's going to lead this team in sacks. And we both kind of thought Brandon Graham is probably the favorite, maybe Fletcher Cox or Derek Barnett. But I've kind of actually changed my mind. I think Michael Bennett's going to have a big year, and I think he's going to lead the Eagles in sacks. He's going to have the most opportunities, really, because, yeah, Barnett and Graham are going to get a lot of the main reps on the outside, but Michael Bennett's going to get spots at defensive end, but at the same time on third downs, a lot of the time he's going to move inside, and Brandon Graham, I'm sure, is going to get a lot of that as well, but Bennett's going to have every opportunity to thrive in this defense on the defensive line and get a lot of sacks this year. So just based on the role he is playing as that versatile defensive lineman this year, I think Michael Bennett might end up leading the Eagles in sacks. To me, it's either going to be him or Brandon Graham. It's going to be a fun race to watch because, you know, we can't forget about Chris Long. Of course, Fletcher Cox is going to get his. He's the best defensive lineman on this Eagles team. I feel like we kind of forget sometimes just how good Fletcher Cox is because there's so much depth at the defensive line. But right now, if I had to pick, it'd be Michael Bennett, and I'm very impressed with what he's done so far this summer. Some other news, Kamu Grugier-Hill was the standout today at Will linebacker. He drilled Richard Rodgers to break up a touchdown in the red zone, had another nice stop on the one-yard line on Corey Clement, blew up another run play by getting past the line in 7-on-7s today, or I think it was 11-on-11s. He is the most explosive of the competing Will linebackers. And I know Nate Jerry's had a couple big plays throughout the week. He was playing with the first team at the beginning of the week. Corey Nelson was kind of the favorite heading into training camp to win that spot. But Grugier-Hill is the most athletic. He is the best in coverage, at least so far. And he's kind of come out of nowhere, really. I know he was a special teams ace for the Eagles, but he has a legitimate chance at starting at the Will spot, and he had a big day today for the Eagles. So Grugier-Hill with another nice win today, and he's continuing to make progress towards maybe claiming that Will linebacker starting spot. He had a big day today in the red zone, not only against the running backs in the running defense, but also against the pass. He made some nice plays as well today in coverage, and that's huge for linebackers in the NFL now. You know, you have to be able to cover it in space, and Grugier-Hill is probably the most athletic linebacker. You know, outside of, he might be even more athletic than Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham. He is an athlete, and I think the Eagles are really going to use him when they do have three linebackers on the field. I'm kind of changing my mind about who's going to win this job. At first, I thought, you know, eventually Corey Nelson's going to win it. Maybe Nate Jerry, because he was a former safety. The Eagles do like him, but I think Grugier-Hill might end up being the guy, because it's not a huge role anyway, considering he'll probably play, what, 26-27% of the snaps, considering what the Eagles normally do on defense personnel-wise, but I think he's going to end up winning that starting spot. Last thing, a takeaway from today's practice, the Eagles showed another fun wrinkle on offense. Zach Ertz was on the outside. Darren Sproles was also an outside receiver. They had Mike Wallace in the slot and Dallas Goedert on the line at tight end. So when the Eagles used two tight ends, it was interesting today, they had Goedert on the line. Ertz is an outside receiver. Mike Wallace in the slot, which isn't a surprise. Wallace played a lot from the slot last year in Baltimore, so that's something he can do. And then Goedert up front as your tight end with Sproles on the outside. That's it. Just it goes to show again. It's a formation I didn't even really think of. It just goes to show how deep this Eagles offense is and what kind of options they have. Because that's not even mentioning Nelson Aguilar on the field or Alshon Jeffrey's not healthy yet. Just imagine, you know, if you maybe they don't have a running back next to Carson Wentz in this kind of formation. You have Sproles and Ertz on the outside, Goddard on the line of scrimmage, and then maybe if it's not Mike Wallace in the slot, you put Alshon and Aguilar inside. Now that's a death lineup. That's a Golden State Warriors type lineup NFL-wise for the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles getting creative today with the offense. Again, Sproles and Ertz were the outside wide receivers. You had Wallace split inside, and then Goddard was on the line of scrimmage at tight end, which was super interesting. All right, let's get into today's main topic of the show. What Eagles could win NFL awards? This is interesting because, I mean, obviously the Eagles are probably the deepest team in the NFL right now. They have talent coming out the wazoo, basically at every position. There's not a weak point. What's the weak point of this Eagles team, really? Is it punter? It probably is punter right now, which is a really good problem to have. It's not even a problem. It's the fact that punter is the one thing that might be a liability this year for the Eagles, which I highly doubt. It just shows that they are stacked and they are ready for another Super Bowl run. But what about individual awards? You know, last year, Wentz was probably the favorite to win MVP before he got hurt. Doug Peterson, to me, kind of got screwed over for Coach of the Year. I think, you know, he beat Sean McVay. He beat the team that beat Sean McVay in the playoffs in the Atlanta Falcons. To me, he was the best play caller in the NFL last year. He ended up being the number one seed in the NFC. It's just, you know, the offensive statistics, the Eagles were ahead of the Rams and a lot of them. It just really seemed like Doug Peterson was the coach of the year, but Sean McVay was the sexy, flashy pick. And with most sports, not just the NFL, it is the big storyline. It's the flashiness that ends up winning the award. It's why Tom Brady hasn't really won MVP every single year. And do you really think Bill Belichick's not the coach of the year every single season? How many times has he actually won it? You know, in the past decade, how many times has Bill Belichick won the award? A couple times? You know, it's the flashiness, it's the exciting storyline of the year that ends up winning these awards. So I get Sean McVay winning it in that sense, but was he a better coach last year than Doug Peterson? I don't think so. What Eagles could win NFL awards this year in 2018? If you asked me, I think MVP, really the only Eagle that could win that is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz last year was the favorite to do it. If he comes back fully healthy, looks like he did last year, I think, honestly, he actually should be the favorite to win it. Last year, he had 33 touchdowns before he got injured, on pace for a historic season. It was a historic season as he broke the Eagles' single-season passing touchdowns record, but he was the best player in football last year when he was healthy, if you ask me. So no one else is going to win this award for the Eagles, but if Wentz is healthy, the offense is set up to be even better than last year. If he is healthy and he's comfortable in doing the same things he did last year, you know, running around, improvising, making big plays down the field, running the football, staying within the pocket and still being lethal, Carson Wentz is going to be one of the main favorites to win MVP. And he's also a main favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year. Wentz, you know, again, coming off the injury, the team ends up winning the Super Bowl. It was a big storyline that, you know, he was sitting on the sidelines and he didn't end up getting to be part of that run. If he ends up this year taking the Eagles, I don't know, maybe if it's not, say they don't win the Super Bowl, but maybe they get to the big dance, or maybe they end up going to the NFC Championship game and they're the one or two seed in the NFC. He has a big regular season. I think it's clear cut that he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. One other candidate for the Eagles that could maybe do it if he ends up blowing up is Jordan Hicks. I know Drew Brees said Darren Sproles was one of his favorites to win the award, but there's just too many weapons on the offense that Sproles just isn't going to get enough looks unless he has a Devin Hester-type season as a punt returner on top of his offensive production. But Jordan Hicks is a player as well that could win it. If he is healthy, he's one of the best linebackers in football, coming off a season-ending injury last year that he suffered against the Redskins. Jordan Hicks could be set for a big year. He's had an amazing camp so far. He's got a great front four in front of him to help him thrive. He's got a great secondary behind him. If he ends up having a 2016 type season where he's got maybe 3 to 4 interceptions, a lot of fumbles, a lot of fumble recoveries he forced, you know, good plays in coverage, he ends up getting, I don't know, around 80 to 90, 100 tackles, stays healthy, not only is he going to get paid next year, but Jordan Hicks could be a underrated dark horse to win comeback player of the year next year. Rookie of the year, I don't think anyone really with the Eagles could win it. You know, Goddard maybe in a different offense would, but again, it's just I think he's going to have a really good rookie season, but there's just too much talent at his spot on offense. You know, not just with Zach Ertz at tight end getting more reps than him, but just skill positions in general. The ball's going to be going to a lot of different players, not just him and Ertz, but Alshon and Nelson Aguilar and Mike Wallace, and they're going to run the football to Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement. They're going to run and throw to Darren Sproles. Carson Wentz is going to run a lot of the time. There's just so many options with this offense that he's not really going to have a big enough role to win the award. Normally, tight ends don't really win it anyway, and it's normally running backs or a quarterback or a wide receiver for offensive rookie of the year. And then for defense, Avante Maddox to me isn't going to scratch the starting lineup, and Josh Sweat is buried behind four really, really good defensive ends. Maybe if Josh Sweat was on a defense that allowed him to be a starter, I could see it because I think he's a first round talent that ended up falling to the fourth because of the health issues that he had in high school that carried on into college, even though he played the majority of the games at Florida State. If Joshua was on another team, I could see it. But again, there's just too many options on this Eagles team for any of the rookies to really have a big enough impact to win Rookie of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year? I don't know. Does Brandon Graham blow up this year? Does he finally get over that 10 sack mark? I know PFF loves him. He's one of the most efficient pass rushers. Wow, efficient pass rushers in the NFL. Hasn't really resulted in big sack numbers. Last year, it was his career high, actually, with 9.5. Maybe Brandon Graham blows up this year, gets 12 to 14 sacks, makes his money, and finally gets put on the map. A lot of people know his name now because he had the game-winning strip sack against Tom Brady. Maybe Brandon Graham blows up and ends up winning the award. Maybe Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox, outside of Aaron Donald, he's probably the best interior defensive lineman in football. Aaron Donald won the award last year. Maybe Fletcher Cox thrives off having so many pass rushers around him, and he just has a dominant type season. If you had to ask me if someone's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year award for the Eagles, it would be someone on the defensive line. It's probably either Fletcher Cox or Brandon Graham. Malcolm Jenkins is the Swiss Army knife that plays all over the place, but I don't know. He's not flashy to the league, and the league likes flashy. And the majority of the time, this is a pass rushing award. Because corners really, unless you have like nine interceptions, the stats don't really pop when they're deciding who's going to win the award. Unless you're making big plays with interceptions and turnovers, you're not making a lot of flashy plays. The best time, really, if you're not hearing about a corner, that means they're doing their job. So to me, it's the pass rushers that are getting the big sacks at big moments. That to me is who wins the Defensive Player of the Year award a lot, or linebackers. But Nigel Bradham, Jordan Hicks, I don't know. I feel like they're going to kind of both do a lot of the same good things, and they're kind of going to absorb into each other. And I don't think either one's going to really. I think most of these Eagles are going to struggle to stand out as individuals because of how good the roster is. But if I had to choose maybe one or two, it would probably be Brandon Graham or Fletcher Cox, the pass rushers, based on the sack numbers, based on that's a position that they really like to award the Defensive Player of the Year award to at the end of the year. Offensive Player of the Year. Just too many mouths to feed. I mean, I don't think they're going to choose a quarterback for that. And just, again, way too deep on offense. And then Coach of the Year, Doug Peterson should win Coach of the Year. He should have won it last year. This is going to be the 2018 revenge tour for Doug Peterson. He's on the map. He's the flashy guy now. Mr. Philly special on fourth and goal. Mr. We're going for it in our own territory. Down one in the fourth quarter. On fourth down in the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson is now known as one of the gurus of the NFL, one of the best play callers, if not the best play caller in football. He outdueled Bill Belichick. I think Doug Peterson's going to win Coach of the Year this season if the Eagles can replicate what they did last year in the regular season and ended up getting a bye week in the playoffs. I think, you know, with what he did last year, with the injuries the Eagles had, he should have won it last year. I think the end of the year awards should be also based on the playoffs because the playoffs are the most important part of sports, right? It's the biggest stage is when you really want your players to step up. When they retire, you know, when seasons end, what is remembered is what they did on the biggest stage. So to me, and Doug Peterson did his best work in the postseason. Sean McVay ended up getting bounced in the wild card. I feel like awards should consider postseason too. I don't know why these are just regular season awards, but nonetheless, I think Peterson should be a favorite to win that as well. And Walter Payton Man of the Year, man. This is something that Malcolm Jenkins should win this year with the impact he's having in the community, with his charity work, but not only that, with his, you know, with his awareness that he's raising. With, I know the anthem protesting is super messy with the president and with the NFL, but Malcolm Jenkins really is someone that people should look up to with how he's handled everything and the awareness that he's, you know, talked about and he has spread. And he's really, it's, you know, they, a lot of, you know, the president, want, I don't want to get into politics too much, but he wants him to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, and instead of just talking, do stuff. And Malcolm Jenkins has done that. He has been one of the most influential Eagles players, and not just Eagles players, but NFL players in the community. And I think maybe he'll end up getting awarded for that this year with the Walter Payton Man of the Year, but he is definitely someone that should be a favorite. So if you had to ask me right now, the Eagles team is so deep that I don't think they're really going to get any of these awards. If they had to get one or two, I think Doug Peterson winning Coach of the Year is very likely, and I think Carson Wentz winning Comeback Player of the Year is very likely. And depending on his health and his season, MVP. So Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and MVP are the three awards to really watch out for with the Eagles if they end up winning any of these. But it's just so hard for these defensive and offensive players to stand out because the Eagles are 53 deep on this roster. They are so extremely talented that how do you stand out, you know? We often, I feel like, forget, like, man, how good Rodney McLeod is, or Malcolm Jenkins is one of the best defensive players in the league. He plays everywhere. And how about Fletcher Cox? He's almost just as good as Aaron Donald. Brandon Graham, you know, there's, you know, and then we forget, wow, we have all these young corners, and oh, look at Alshon Jeffrey still here. Zach Ertz is one of the best tight ends in football. But hey, we still have this Hall of Fame candidate, Darren Sproles, in the backfield. It's like, there are so many good players in this team that I feel like a lot of the time we kind of just forget about how good each player is individually. I mean, we appreciate it and we know it, but it's just not talked about as much because there's just so much to talk about with this Eagles team. And if non-Eagles fans were listening to this podcast right now, they'd probably puke as we're just bragging and bragging and bragging about how good this Eagles roster is. But it's true, and I'm going to live that up until the day it's over. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for joining me today. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE for more Eagles content. We are 1 week away from Eagles football, and I'm so excited that the football season is finally back and the dead period is over, and we can get back to Eagles football as they defend their 2017 Super Bowl championship. Please listen to our next show. They're always posted on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts. And of course, as always, LockedOnEagles.com. Thank you for listening today. We will see you next time. Let's go, Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.